Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, in your band, who plays bass?
That would be Andy.
And who's in space?
Do I even need to answer that question? That's a good one, too.
All right, we made it through January.
Or we did.
I like to call it Jimuary.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Jim.
And it is a great month because we get all these listener calls and we get to play them and we get to hear what other people really liked. And some people are just so passionate about it and they really go all out trying to sell you on this record. And you're like, hey, it worked because now I'm a fan of it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I got so much music to listen to. I want to thank everybody who called in, including the Bish. And we will get that stuff out to you, you know, as soon as we can. It's hand assembled one by one.
Yes.
Hand numbered, hand made. So we're thinking October, November time frame. We'll try to get that in your hands just in time for a new year.
The mixtape of some of our favorites.
That's right.
From the past year. Yeah. And speaking of which, we're going to address some of our favorite songs from the past year on this very special episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all week has been
Nick Scalera.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. So,
thank you.
So no calls today. It's just the three of us talking about some great music.
Throwing down.
We should flip a coin or draw on straws. Somebody. Yep. Who wants to go first? Do you have a volunteer or do you want me to go or what do you guys want to do?
It is Jimuary after all.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Jimuary. So what better way to kick it off?
So here's what we decided was we're going to each name a favorite song and a favorite album. And we were going to start with songs, right? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
Good. I'm going to tell you that actually a big contender for my favorite song of the year, but somebody else already picked this as one of their favorites of the year.
Yep.
I think it was the very first call we played in this particular listener series.
Okay.
But I got to say the song Bad Guy by Billie Eilish was way up there for me. From the moment I heard that song, I was like immediately like, this is great. This is really well done. It's really cool. It's sounds a little bit different. It's got that great hook in it and all that. And that was a big contender for me. And then, did you know, by the way, that song ended up going to number one?
What? Did it really?
To anyone who ever follows Top 40 anymore, mm-hmm. I don't know if people really do.
That's kind of mind-blowing.
That became a number one hit song.
It's wild. And I actually read that she, of all the artists who were in the sort of top 25 streamed, and obviously she was in the top 25 streamed, she sold the most vinyl records.
Oh, is that right?
Which I was like, that's wild. I don't really know what's behind that, but that's pretty surprising to me. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to go to a song that lately I've been completely obsessed with. Just completely obsessed with. It came out in August. It's another young artist. She goes by the name Biba Doobie.
Okay.
And the song is called She Plays Bass.
Hey, won't you call me back? Cause I've been waiting for a text back.
One of the things I really like about this song is it reminds me a lot of Juliana Hatfield.
Ah,
I kind of hear that.
Yeah, totally,
and,
man.
And to emphasize this even more, I want to take you to the end of the song because there's a
okay.
It sort of changes a little bit at the end and you really get that vibe here. So I'm going to get to like the last, 45 seconds or so of the song.
So you can teach me how to be. I was more like you.
So you see what I mean there?
Sort totally of that, like, get that.
Power at the end.
That is perfect pop, man. That song really is deliciously great.
I love that. That is like right up my alley. And I feel like I've heard this name, but I hadn't actually, you know, listened to a song. But that's fantastic.
So that song is on an EP. She hasn't even put out a full album yet. The EP was called Space Cadet. Came out in 2019. 5 songs. Yep. Her name is Beatrice Christy Laus. Mm-hmm. She's a Filipino-British. She's only like 19 years old. Yeah. She apparently only learned guitar like 2 years ago.
Wow.
She played violin, I think, for a long period of time. So she was musically adept, but you know, picked up a guitar and I think was like self-taught from watching like YouTube videos, which is what the kids do now. You know, all those guitar teachers out there, you know, out of work these days because everybody can just sort of figure this stuff out. Super talented. The stuff is, like I said, it's very poppy, very hooky, really, really cool. And she's also a big fan of Pavement.
Oh, really?
And actually has a song called I Wish I Was Stephen Malkmus.
That's right. Yes.
So on top of all the things I just said, there's that too. So great song. I love that song.
I'm looking here and this kind of blows my mind, but according to the internet, she's on tour with the 1975 now. That's
she's
amazing.
Opening for them.
Wow. She's going to blow way up.
Yeah.
So cool.
There you go. Biba Doobie.
What a pick, man. Really
love
awesome.
It.
Okay. Who wants to go next?
You want to go next?
I guess I'll go next if we're going to the round robin to your left here. The song that I'd like to cue up is actually from a band that's kind of under the radar. They're called Armstrong, but it's not a they. It is Julian Pitt. He is from Wales. He is kind of a one-man band. He records music in his bedroom, plays guitar, bass, drums, puts it all together. And this album, Under Blue Skies, was put out this year. It's actually, I might be breaking the rules slightly. These songs were released about 10 years ago, but only on like a CDR that like 5 people heard.
Okay.
Really?
And,
wow.
And this year, it got released on The Beautiful Music, which is a record label run by this guy, Wally, up in Canada, who's also puts out the music for Dot Dash.
Yes.
Our
yes.
friends Dot
Wally.
Dash, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Wally is a guy you got to follow on Twitter because you'll find these gems of somewhat obscure but just fantastic, jangly, poppy music. And so my favorite song, and I've been obsessed with this song since the minute I heard it, it starts the album. It is called Love, Hate, Passion, and War. I think it says a lot about where we are right now.
Yeah.
I think you will hook into this in the first second of this song. It just starts and it just keeps going. And if you like that, the rest of the album is nonstop, fantastic stuff. So Love, Hate, Passion, and War by Armstrong.
Love, hate, passion, and war. The wildest thing, the vengeance, I forget in the score. And I can't choose in my what I sense in my what I choose in my what I sense in my love, hate, passion, and war. Strangest intervention is forgetting me more. And I can't sense in my what I choose in my what I sense in my what I choose in my what I sense my what I sense in my in the vengeance I forget in the score. And I can't choose in my what I sense in my what I choose in my what I sense in my love, hate, passion, and war. The strangest intervention is forgetting me more. And I can't sense in my what I choose in my what I sense in my what I choose in my what I sense my what I sense in my senses in my wide eye, senses in my wide eye, senses in my wide eye, senses in my wide eye.
That is fantastic. I love how it's put together, and I was really enthralled by the backing vocals.
I love, which I guess are him backing himself.
Is that right?
Yeah, really cool. I mean, I think I don't know if they're double tracked or he just records them twice, but I don't know of any other voices that are in this song.
I loved how sometimes it would be right singing the same part and then would break away very sort of seamlessly. Very it was cool. really right, nicely right, done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, man, that backing beat with that one acoustic guitar strum was really, really beautiful. Certainly evocative of, yes, I'm going to say it, Flying Nun. But really no loved it, man. That totally hit my sensibilities right on the center of the dartboard perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, love that song. A lot of plays for me on Spotify. So cool. I did get the physical copy, which folks, buy yourself a physical.
Great.
Feel
love
of it.
The cover.
And Julian is queuing up some new music for 2020. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and certainly the beautiful music, as Nick said, follow those guys, man, because Wally does really good stuff, and you know, obviously Dot Dash are amazing.
Yeah, he's a great gent, and if you buy something from him, you get a personal note.
Oh,
I mean, it's
so
the
cool.
kind of stuff that you get when you're dealing with a small indie label from someone who literally just loves this stuff so much and is doing it out of passion and not out of any sort of pecuniary remuneration.
Totally, totally. Great call.
Awesome. Love it. Okay, Patrick, you're up.
All right, I'm up. I'll tell you guys, I don't know, do you guys put much stock in your Spotify year-end wrap-up that comes? Like, do you look at that, pay much attention to it at all?
I was going
to
bring that up with my next pick.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. Well, I'll bring it up real quickly and tell you that my most played song of the year was not the one I'm going to pick. The most played song for me was from Mannequin Pussy. It's called Drunk 2. That's the one I listen to the most just because it's so amazing.
Yep.
It's so great.
And we played that earlier in the series,
we
too.
Did.
Somebody else picked that.
We did. And I'll tell you, this song, I picked this song for one of my new music picks earlier this year. I don't know hardly anything about the band. I got to tell you, I haven't really listened to the full album very much, but the song is called One Last Night on This Earth, and the band is Sundara Karma. And I don't know exactly why I love this song so much, but it does have one of those. Now, is there a musical term for when you slide your hand all the way down the keyboards of a piano and it goes?
Did we talk about this before?
Probably
I don't
when
know.
We played this song. I don't know if there's a term for that, is one of the all-time greatest. I'm going to go say that. Keyboard down the piano slides. You'll hear it. It makes the tune, and I just love it, man. You know, and that's all I got.
Here we go.
Jump!
There it is, man. You know, remember a few years back when they had that commercial where the guy is in his car with his windows rolled up and Mr. Roboto by Styx is playing like really loud and he's like doing all the moves?
Yeah.
That's me with this song, man. Mm-hmm. I just love to be in the car and crank it up as loud as it will go and just sing along to it because it's so fun.
Awesome. I kind of heard a little Bowie in that.
Yeah, totally a lot of Bowie.
Bowie, Young Americans era. It has that sort of funk and groove to it.
Yeah, he's got that little bit of timber to his voice too. But I love the lines. Tell me how to let go when the seasons change. Like I thought that was a beautiful line. So I love that song.
I also like the idea that one last night on this earth and you're going out, man.
We're not going gentle into that good night. No. If we're going to party it up.
That's right.
And you got to swipe the keyboard, you know? Right.
Swipe the keyboard swipe. Is that what we call it?
Keyboard swipe.
I will say, though, I don't know if that's the official term of it or not, but as somebody who grew up, you know, taking piano lessons and learn how to play the piano and all that kind of stuff and would try to do things like that.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
And it's kind of painful.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Because we're talking 88 keys, man.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, cool. Very cool. Sundara Karma.
Yeah. So check that out, folks. Hope you like it.
All right. Now we were going to do favorite albums of the year, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you mentioned the Spotify thing, like people who are on the Spotify at the end of the year, it sort of compiles for you what you listen to most. And this came in handy for me here because honestly, I was kind of struggling on what's my favorite album. What's my favorite album? I'm not sure. There were so many I liked. And would I say this is my favorite? I don't know.
Millions. Yeah.
Yes. There were so many. And so I kind of relied on Spotify to help me out here. And I went and I looked to see what album I played the most
or
what songs from albums I played the most. And, you know, and I also think another criteria for me was like, in terms of calling something your favorite was like, did I actually buy the physical version too? Right. Mm-hmm. Did I like it that much that I went out and bought it? And so I came to the conclusion that I think my favorite album of 2019 was from a band who we actually featured on the show.
Okay.
Not only did I buy the album, but apparently listened to the stuff the most over the course of the year, and also went to see them live twice
in
2019, and that would be Mandolin Orange.
Oh, wow.
And it was our most popular episode of 2019 was the Mandolin Orange interview that we
did. Amazing. That was so fun, and they're just so nice, and it was just great that they took time to speak to us.
So all of these factors, you know, and also, too, you know, we had Nick on, and we talked about the Ken Burns country music documentary, and maybe that also played into why I was playing this album so much, too, because this is a very bluegrassy, country, Americana, folk, all that kind of stuff in the best possible way, right?
Yeah.
It reminds you of, you know, the old Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman Auditorium and all of that kind of stuff in sort of the classic songwriting and performance. And I'll tell you, they put on just a fantastic show. So anyway, I'll just play a couple little clips here and you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about. This was probably the biggest song off of this album, Tides of a Teardrop, the name of the album. This kicks it off. It's called Golden Embers.
Like an old friend, kinder than expected. That Cadillac came and gave our girl a ride. Loss has no end, it binds to our connection. We don't speak of it, we don't even try. If you could help me to share the trouble that you've got burning in you, then you can help me and end our time together. Her memory will ever shine like golden embers in
Okay, so Mandolin Orange is the husband-wife duo, Andrew Marlin and Emily Franz. And that song, Golden Embers, is about the death of Andrew's mother. Yep. And, you know, it's just very touching. And then I also think it's a great example of a lot of the components that I think make this this group really work so well. You get, you know, Andrew's just, he's just got this sort of like haunting sort of voice.
Yes.
It sounds, like I said, very sort of traditional style. You have Emily coming in with the background vocals. I think their voices just really mesh beautifully. And then Emily with the fiddle playing as well. It just, yep, again, gives it this sort of weight to that song. And, you know, it's just a record that I think really draws you in, I think is what I'm trying to say here. And they're called Mandolin Orange. There's actually many of the other songs have a lot of mandolin playing. You didn't hear it so much on this particular song, but that's also a big component of it. I'm going to play one more clip, but was there anything you wanted to say?
I think you said it very well. I mean, their music, it does something that I think people throw the word timeless around a lot, just as like, oh, it's timeless, but not really. But in this case, there is something out of time about his voice, her playing, the way they work together, and just the way as a husband and wife team, they're always out on the road tour, and they have, yep, their little newborn with them, and, right, and they're just like, in that sense, a throwback to the classic work hard and be nice kind of country music duos. But they have something very, very special. They really do.
Yeah, I mean, also listening to the interview you guys did with them, they just sound like just great people.
Oh, yeah, they're so
and
nice.
Sometimes it's nice to root for the that's good, right, guys, yeah, right? That's right? You know, good people making great music, and I just agree that violin really just hits you right in,
yeah,
the gut.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic stuff.
So a lot of the record, you know, it can be pretty heavy, like you heard there too, but there's also a certain brightness to it. The other song I wanted to play, in which Emily comes front and center, and it's more of a poppy song, and you hear some drums in it, and it feels, you know, kind of a little more sunny, almost California like in a way, is this song called Into the Sun. I just think that's just a lovely, like, pop song. Really.
Wonderful. Yeah, yep, you know? Really is. Yep. Really, really is.
All right. There you go.
So good.
Tides of a Teardrop, Mandolin Orange. That's my pick. All right.
Awesome.
So who was next? Nick.
I guess that's me. To no one's surprise, my favorite album of the year was Aldous Harding's Designer. And getting back to Jim's point about Spotify end of year playlist, I bought this vinyl very early. In fact, I bought it at an actual Aldous Harding show, and I played the hell out of the vinyl. It did not show up in my even top 10, which had me sort of mystified, and I was like, and that's clearly the reason.
Right.
And also, you know, and I'm not an audiophile by any stretch, but I would just put a plug in. If you're into Aldous Harding and you like her music, this vinyl sounds fantastic. Okay. I mean, it's put out by 4AD and Flying Nun, two of the greatest labels that have ever existed on the face of the planet.
No doubt.
But I don't know what was done in the mastering process or whatever magic they did. It just sounds fantastic on vinyl. So a plug for the vinyl version of Designer. This album is a departure for her compared to her previous stuff, which was much more singer-songwriter. I've just got a guitar and I'm up here and I'm going to kind of use my voice as the instrument. She brings a full band with her, and it's an interesting instrumentation. There's a mellotron, there's various different guitars and basses. The drummer is just really subtle, and they add a lot to her sound. They really flesh it out. But to me, the reason I keep coming back to this album is it's just so different. Every song is its own weird universe, and by weird, I mean extremely, extremely weird. If you know that site on the internet, Genius Lyrics or whatever, and sometimes you go to lyrics and people have sort of tagged it and said, this is what this means. Well, no one has tagged any of these songs because no one knows what it means. But I guarantee you, it's very interesting. She has a gift for saying things that are just mysterious and enigmatic, but they feel meaningful. And, you know, she can be, she's not everyone's cup of tea, I would say. Often in interviews, she comes off as kind of standoffish, but she's actually extremely earnest. You know, she's like, I am working very hard to do the best I can do. And this is sort of who I am and what I come up with. And it is just this hodgepodge of different. I mean, I kind of think a lot about you guys did. I forget who it was. One of the Rocking the Suburbs community did that Genesis week, right?
And yeah. That was Kevin Goff.
Right. Yep. Kevin Goff was talking about the early Peter Gabriel and sort of how he would come out and there'd be like six different personae.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy with the flower head. And I feel like Aldis really does that. She inhabits a lot of different characters and a lot of different vibes in the course of the album and even in the live show, which is an experience that you should try to have if you're at all interested. So by far my favorite, extremely impactful. I did see her twice. Wow. I saw her perform these songs twice. and each time it was different and strange. And it's, you know, I think it's sort of a wonderful place to go to. It's not poppy. It's not like my usual stuff. It's different than the song my song of the year, but it's a whole album experience. And it goes from sort of extreme highs and then just like the depth of like agony. So if you want to go on that ride, check it out. I don't think you'll be sorry.
All right. So give us one or two songs we should play.
Sure. So I've been thinking about this a little bit. Like this is, and one of the reasons I know this is my favorite album, and I know I'm sure you guys have this experience. Have you ever like go through an album and a certain song is your favorite for like 3 weeks and then the next one becomes your favorite?
Yeah.
I've been going through this all year, and lately I've landed on Zoo Eyes as my favorite album, a favorite song currently. I love them all, but I think that the vocals on this are what really carry it. It's extremely high. I've heard people liken it to ASMR, if you're familiar with that weird phenomenon. But it's a fantastic song. The lyrics are very mysterious. I don't know what they mean. So Zoo Eyes is my current favorite. If there is one that's sort of become almost a hit, it's the song The Barrel, which has, I would advise anyone to check out the video. She wears this bizarre hat and moves around in a way that only she can. But that song actually has a lot of views on YouTube.
I feel your love, I feel time is up. When I was a child, I never knew enough what that do to me. The wave of love is a transient hut. The water's the shell and I saw a hand arch out of the barrel. Look at all the peaches. How do you celebrate? You can't appear inside of nowhere. It's all dove, I'm not
right, Patrick, what do you got?
Great stuff from Nick. Okay, so really quick, I'll tell you guys, man, you know, it's kind of like Mick was saying, like, one song, you know, changes, you know, as your favorite, blah, 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 and records come in and out during the year of songs or whatever that is. And there's one album I just kept going back to over and over, and it came out in the summertime, but I probably listened to it just as much in December as I did when it first came out. It just wouldn't go away. And so that's why I chose the album as my pick for the year. The band is called $75 Bill. The record is called I Was Real. It's their third record. It's on Thin Wrist label. Now, I'll tell you what's also really cool about this. So this band is a duo, and I didn't really know this until I started going a little deeper into them. I like their other two albums a lot, but I didn't look completely deep. And then I found out that one of the guys in this band is a guy called Rick Brown, and he's like older than me and you, Jim and Nick. He's like really old. And he used to be in this band I loved called V Effect back in the 80s. And then he was in another band called Fish and Roses. I don't know if anybody remembers this band, but they put out a record on Homestead, I believe, at some point. But he plays with a guitarist called Chi Chen, and in this music, you'll hear African music, you'll hear blues, you'll hear jazz, you'll hear all these kind of forms that I really love mingling and intermixing with each other. And on this record, Rick Brown is credited with percussion, but that percussion involves a plywood crate, his hands and feet, and crude horns, while Chi Chen plays the electric guitar. And that's basically what their music is. There's a few people that dabble in and out here and there. Sue Garner, who is, I believe, Rick Brown's wife, and she was in a band called The Last Roundup and also played with Amy Rigby and The Shams. Mm-hmm. But they're from Brooklyn, and this music is just really wild, man. And just check it out and kind of let it flow over you. There's a track called WNZ4 that's on I Was Real that I think will give you a pretty good flavor of what this record is like. So you can definitely hear the African pop influence in that song. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. It's all instrumental. The first song, another one people can check out, it's called Every Last Coffee or Tea. It's 11 minutes, but stay with it for the entire 11 minutes, and you're taken on a ride that's really interesting. So think of an old guy, Rick Brown, an old drummer, like up there banging on a plywood crate while this guy wails on guitar. Mm-hmm. I love it, and I couldn't shake it, you know, and I just, the other morning, I put it on and listened to the whole dang thing all the way through. It was fantastic, so check them out. They don't play around a whole lot. They do play up in the New York area, so if you're up that way, check them out. They're actually opening up a show for the Bush Tetras, if you guys remember that group from way back in the 80s, in February. But they don't play a lot, but they do record a lot. And, you know, a lot of their instruments are sort of handmade percussion and stuff. I just think they're great DIY creative band. So that was it. $75 bill. And if I wish there was such a thing as a $75 bill, that'd be great. Could pay for a lot with that.
That's true.
It really is.
All right. Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool stuff. I like that overdriven guitar, you know, and the, it feels to me like the sort of thing like that. It starts drony, but then it like, hits different points and subtle changes as it goes along, which I think that's the sort of thing you got to like. We were talking about before, you have to give it a real listen.
Yeah, you really got to get wrapped up in it. And I'll tell you what else is cool. If you go to their Bandcamp, you can get this on cassette tape.
Oh, boy.
And so they do have cassettes of all their albums, too, which is really good for just the price, low price of $10. So if you paid with a $75 bill, you'd have $65 left on the change.
Very nice.
All right, very cool. We'll do another song from $75 bill for the playoff.
Okay,
how about
good.
That?
Yep.
All 11 minutes.
That's right.
Strap in.
All right. Cool. Well, this was a good way to end the series, I think. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
To everyone
who contributed,
Nick. We thank you so much. And we will thank you even more when you get that mixtape in the mail.
Yeah.
Sometime by, what was the last thing? Was Bastille Day?
Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the Ascension, whenever that takes place.
Yes. So you'll get that in the mail. There's a lot of follow-up work that has to be done now because, of course, people call in.
That's right.
And they don't say where to send the tape.
Yeah.
Which I get. Why would you want to put that on the show? You wouldn't want to do that.
No.
And so
you guys have like a PI that you hire to like.
We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll get the intern Sam on that,
mm-hmm.
that deal. Maybe. I don't know. But as we head into 2020, if people want to turn us on to new music that they're hearing throughout the year, we love that.
We're going to keep going.
So the way you can do that is you can call, as people have done,
612-440-1984.
Or you can email and send us a note, rock@suburbspod.com.
Yeah.
Or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those. The handle is suburbspod. All right. And people should listen frequently.
Every day.
There you go. We do so much for you peoples.
Tell us where the damn falcon's nest is. That's all we're asking.
That's right. Okay. Let's get out of here. Let's head into 2020 proper now that
cool.
we've completed this journey, this adventure.
Yes.
And thanks, Nick,
thanks,
for
Nick,
hanging out
man.
With us.
So much.
Guys, it's a true honor to be part of this. Like, as part of the community that you guys developed, I just want to, like, give a shout out to our fearless leaders here because a lot of us wouldn't be together, wouldn't be, like, sharing music at all if it wasn't for this podcast. And it's just, I'm just totally geeked to be here for this sort of, like, end of the 2019 recommendations. So thank you so much for all you do.
We know
it's a ton of work. It is a ton of work, and it's very much appreciated.
It's a labor of love, so
thank
it's fine.
You, and I'm not crying. You're crying.
We appreciate that. And speaking of the community, by the way, and people can interact on the Facebook and all that stuff, and
great.
They do,
right.
And they talk to each other, and they share their own little stories about music and stuff, and it's wonderful. But apparently, on the social medias, I see brewing that there's going to be some little meetup in like Kalamazoo
Ooh,
or something
yeah,
that's going to happen.
Oh, that's sweet.
People are going to go to a Bob Mould show, I think, out there together.
That's awesome to hear.
And that's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah,
a little
that
bit.
Is freaking me out. And when we get the 2020 tour bus together, obviously we're stopping in Omaha, but we're going to have to hit other spots too.
I thought Paul Trapp's driving the
bus. Oh, that's right.
Is that what's happening?
He's the driver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he knows all the roadside stops.
So. Okay. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Move on to other things next week that we don't know what they are. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Nick Scalera.
Thanks, Nick. And we'll talk to everyone later.
I think as human beings, like, we have this tendency to try to stay in control because we want to be able to explain everything, right? We don't like things that we don't know why they happened or why they're weird and mysterious, because we want to rationalize or we want to figure stuff out. But you cannot do it with her music. You have to sort of let go. It's like Shadow. You can't figure him out. But oh, that was close. But anyway, Shadow is in the middle of a beautiful statement about humanity, and you screwed it up.